a quick testimony before I screw my leg off? Quick testimony, anybody? Come on, saints. Who's got a testimony? Sheldon, come, mate. Praise God. Thanks, Sheldon. It was a really nasty year. His car was wrecked. All the tires were blown out. The windows were blown out. And it's really a miracle that he didn't end up in greater tragedy than he suffered. So let's just give thanks one more time. And let's pray now together. And let's open our hearts. Father, I just want to thank you that the Word of God is alive. It's not a myth. It's not psychology. It's not philosophy. It's a person. The person of Jesus. For you said in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And so, Father, I just thank you that we need to hear the Word of God and we need to realize what it does, that it builds us, strengthens us, encourages us, and will continue to do the work as long as we take heed to it. Lord, your word says we need to take heed to the word we've heard lest we drift away. And Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark 11. Praise God. If you've got your Bibles, please try and get in the habit of bringing your Bibles because you do learn more when you read it as well as hear it. The last few weeks we've been talking about faith again, and I want everybody to just give me 40 minutes of your life right now, pay attention, and I really hope that, that we can begin to develop an understanding of what New Testament faith is. I've got a CD here in my hand that I would say is essential that every single one of us needs to hear. I was here when it was preached. I've already listened to it once in my truck. I will listen to it again. It is a message, we've just called it Faith, by Pastor Ifeel Makamuri. He was here a couple of Thursdays ago. He's a great man of faith out of Harare, Zimbabwe. He's living in the country that is so bad inflation, 40,000% inflation. Do you understand what that means? To try and explain if you don't understand. If a loaf of bread costs a dollar this year, this time next year, it will cost $400. That's the inflation we're talking about. And while he's living under that kind of poverty, where the water in his entire city has been condemned, it's not fit to drink, he is living in the capital city of 2 million people. He's living under that kind of poverty. He has one child going to Bible school in Tulsa, Oklahoma, another child going to Hillsong's worship school in Sydney, Australia, and another child teaching English in Beijing, China. And I often think, oh, isn't that amazing how a man living in such abject poverty can trust God to see those kind of things happening in his life? Then all I can say is we need to learn what faith is. What faith is. And so that's why I find it very important. Please go downstairs in our lobby. You'll see a place where you can order this CD. It's just called Faith. Now, last week, I also preached on faith, and the week before. Do you remember that I preached, those of you that are here, 2 weeks ago, and I was very concerned, as the pastor of this church, I'm very concerned about some of you folks who are actually a little dry. Some people, I've even heard it said, that they feel like they're dying inside. And the reason is because whatever's going on, whatever you're hearing, whatever you're being taught, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it said that even though the word was preached to them, the gospel was preached to them, the promises of God were given to them, it did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith. And so the reality is, if you go downstairs and open up a packet of our fair trade coffee and pour it in a cup, you have a cup of coffee. But do you want to drink it? No. You've got to mix it with hot water. And the reality is you've got to brew it. And faith is something that you can't just read out of the book and expect it to work for you. If you want the Word of God to refresh you, if you want the Word of God to give you a lift, then you need to realize you must mix it with faith. Are we okay this morning? So it's not... Thanks. Sheldon, you okay? Can you repeat what I just said, please? Anyway, he was about to. I can't believe this guy. Although I did get an email from him this week saying, please keep preaching on faith. I want you to understand this because biblical faith is not what most Christians think it is. Most people, they call upon the name of the Lord, they call out to God when they need something, and that they think that faith has got some kind of magic formula. Faith does not have a formula, it is a way of life. The Bible says that the just, the righteous, those who have been declared righteous by Jesus, will live by faith. The scripture says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible. So no matter how hard you try to be a good person, unless you're doing it by faith, you are not pleasing God. For instance, you go out to work to earn money for your family, and you bring home your paycheck on Friday and give it to your wife. But if you haven't gone to work by faith, then you haven't pleased God. Therefore, how can you please your wife with that paycheck? Are we okay this morning? And if we're not pleasing God, how can we please our wife? How can we please our husband? How can we please our children if you're not living by faith? So therefore, faith is a lifestyle that each and every one of us, we need to do. Now, I'm not talking about the old religious balance of good works and bad works. I want to encourage each and every one of you this morning, there is no pathway to God. There is no journey to God. You're either you're either not part of him or you are part of him. There's nothing in between. Does everybody understand that? There is no coming, well, I'm on the pathway to God. No, there is no pathway to God. There's Jesus. So you're either out there or you're in there. Jesus is the door. So don't think that there's some, well, I'm getting closer and closer. No, Jesus is the only way. He is the door. He is the way. He is the life. He is the truth. He is the righteousness of God. And he is the gift of God that he wants everybody to have this Christmas. And so I want to encourage you to understand that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so therefore, I want to talk a little bit about faith and encourage you that we must mix these things with faith. Now, before I go any further, I'll get there again in a minute. The book of Corinthians, the first book of Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 14 says this. The natural man cannot receive of the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. The Bible also says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So therefore, it is impossible for the natural man to receive of the understanding of God. But then the next verse says, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. He's revealed it to us by his Spirit. Now, the problem is, and let me just explain this quickly, when you're born in this world, because of sin, and this, everybody's born in that situation, because of sin, because, by the way, don't be too entangled by the word sin. Sin means you missed the mark. That's all it means. You missed. You might remember a few weeks ago, I preached, not only did the Bible talk about sin, it says that unless you're perfect, it says, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Gentiles, you'll no ways enter into the kingdom of heaven. And it also is, be ye holy as your Father in heaven is holy. So therefore, it's no good trying through balance of good and bad to get to God. It's impossible, okay? Because you've got to be perfect, you've got to be righteous, and you've got to be holy. And nobody made that, not Mother Teresa, not the Pope, not Billy Graham, not nobody. Are we okay with that? So therefore, to be righteous and to be holy and to be perfect, you have to have somebody do the job for you. And thank God, somebody did. and his name was Jesus, and Jesus was perfect, and Jesus was righteous, and Jesus was holy. Therefore, whenever I mess up, I plead him. Are we okay? Now, let's hold it for there for a moment. No, let's just do this. I'm trying to just lay a foundation before we go any further. We are all born, the Bible says, you're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. The scripture actually says we're born dead in our trespasses and sin. So if we're born dead, what does that mean? I remember coming out crying, at least my mother told me that. In those days, the doctor still used to whack you. That was fun, eh? How's your baby? Boom! Fine! It's a shame a lot of parents stopped doing that, but anyway, I'll teach that another time. So the reality is that you come out alive, but the Bible says you're dead. So you know you're very much alive. You know that if I pinch you, you're gonna complain because you're alive. But when a person's spirit is dead, what it means is their spirit is not alive to God. They've been separated from God because of sin. This is why the Bible and the prophets prophesied in Ezekiel 22 that he looked for a man to make up the hedge to fill the gap to save the land, but he couldn't find one. Abraham wasn't good enough. Moses wasn't good enough. Isaiah wasn't good enough. King David wasn't good enough. So he had to send one who was good enough, Jesus Christ the righteous. And Jesus Christ filled the gap between man and God. He stood there, ever living to make intercession for us, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are we okay? So this is why the Bible teaches you must be born again. And the man at the time, Gamaliel, who was a good man and a teacher of the people of Israel, he said, how can this be? You see, because he was a natural man and he couldn't receive of the things of the Spirit of God. Even though he knew the Bible, he knew the Old Testament thoroughly, but he didn't understand because it was a spiritual thing. So this is why you're born of the flesh. That that's born of the flesh weighs 200 and mind your own business. And that that's born of the Spirit is spirit. So my natural man is one thing, and my spiritual man, the unseen man, is another thing. You must be born again so that your spirit man can now communicate with God because your spirit has been made alive. That's why the Bible says, my outer man perishes, but my inner man is renewed day by day. Are we okay? If you have any questions, ask me, not now, because I'm busy. But I want you to hear this. I want all of us to grasp these realities of why we don't understand biblical faith. Let's go to Mark 11. Mark 11, beginning verse 12. Now the next day, when they come out from Bethany, he was hungry. That's Jesus' outer man. His flesh was hungry. And seeing afar a fig tree having leaves. And he went to see if perhaps he would find some on it. And then he went and came to it. What's going on? Is there a sound? Is that me? What's that? Oh. Thought it was something on the sound. It said, and when he... Is it me? My voice against the mic. My voice against the mic. How about that? Is that better? Praise hallelujah. Oh, I'll do this. Let's start again. Now the next day when they came out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing afar off a fig tree that had leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For it was not the season of figs. It was not the season of figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Then we went read on about Jesus the next few verses. He had a busy day at the office, kicking butt, kicking people out of the temple. It's not my point. Verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus said, have faith in God. Some Bibles actually say, have the faith of God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Does everybody hear that? Now let me read it a little different. Jesus said, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Are we okay there? We got the emphasis of this text. Now, I've been to a lot of prayer meetings in the world, and I hear how many people do not pray in faith. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So therefore, a lot of people, a lot of Christians, because they use God as an emergency line, as a 911, that they only actually call him when there's an emergency. They only call him when there is a leak and when there is a fire and when there is a problem. That's the only time they call him. And of course, because they're not in some kind of relationship with him that is consistent and persistent, when they call him, like any time you call anybody for an emergency, you tend to panic. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You call the plumber because you have a leak and you can't turn the water off. There's something in your voice that kind of is a little different than your normal conversation. You gotta get here! I'm flooding! I'll get here! Or something similar. Can you repeat that, children? Just a thought. Or, God forbid, a child has fallen and you need to call the ambulance. You don't pick up the phone and say, morning, is that the ambulance? Got a bit of a situation here. My little one, he's such a cat. He loves to run around. He's so much fun, yeah. Yeah, well, we got this carpet. Actually, we had it fitted just recently. And, by the way, he's fallen down the stairs, and I could use an ambulance. You see, most people who answer the 911, they're on the other end going, calm down, madam, calm down, what's happened? Because the person is not communicating with them in faith, they're communicating with them in panic. Are we okay? Now, I've seen prayer meetings. Oh, God! Please, oh, God! That is not praying in faith. And then there's the other ones. Glory, 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 glory. That ain't praying in faith either. And then there's the other one. Oh, God, I know I haven't spoken to you for a long time. Uh-huh. But suddenly, you know, it's like not going to the gym for a few years and wondering why your muscles ain't working as well as they used to. You go, what's wrong with this picture? I used to be able to pick that up. Yeah. All right. So, I want you to see this because it's so important. Jesus said, when you speak to the mountain and you believe in your heart that whatever you say and whatever you ask, when you pray and you believe you've received it, you will have it. Hello? What's this got to do with God? Somebody help me this morning. If anybody agrees, at least blink or something. Can you see what I'm saying? Now, most people when we pray, Lord, I have a problem with my husband. Now, come on, I know you do. Well, what is God's answer to that? You speak to him. I have a problem with my finances. You speak to it. I have a problem with my health. You speak to it. Lord, heal my headache. Speak to your headache. That's what New Testament faith is. That's what New Testament faith is. Is you speak to it. Now, let me explain this. Does anybody remember the last thing Jesus said on the cross? It's finished. What was finished? I'll tell you what was finished. What was finished was God's plan to redeem man to himself. It was God's plan to now take the world back from evil forces, back into the hands of Jesus. Jesus now ascends into heaven, is seated at the right hand of God, a majesty on high. And then he said to us, remember this, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then remember it, your kingdom come. You see, because the kingdom of God is not fully ruling and reigning on this earth. We are still living in the present evil age. And so therefore, when you need God to intervene, we have to say, your kingdom come, your will be done. You remember that part? Does anybody here not know the Lord's Prayer? Think, well, if you don't, you'd be surprised. They just did a survey in England. Only one Englishman in eight knew the Christmas story accurately. One in eight. That was pretty impressive. We're next. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Okay, let's talk about the will of God. Thy kingdom and thy will. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God at present is complete in heaven. The Bible says, giving thanks to the Father who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. How many? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, which is why the Bible keeps saying, if any man be in Christ, because we have that privilege. Try and stay with me. This may be a bit chewy, but I'm trying to walk it through the best I know at the moment. So, we must ask ourselves this question. Is there sickness in heaven? No. Is there sin in heaven? Is there broken relationships in heaven? Is there poverty in heaven? I mean, they pave the roads with gold, for God's sake. Forget blacktop. Right? So taking all that into account, his kingdom has all of that in it. Who was here a couple of weeks ago when I preached about Deuteronomy 28? Remember that? Deuteronomy 28 said that I will bless you coming in, bless you going out, bless you in the city, bless you in the country, bless the fruit of your womb. I will bless your flock and everything you put your hand to will be blessed. You are the head and not the tail. Remember all that? Well, that is the blessing of God that God has blessed all of us with in the spirit. Now, the natural man cannot... Is this any good? I'm beginning to doubt it. Just not sure that you're all at home. Just some of them. All right. He's blessed us with every. Somebody say every. Do we believe the scripture says unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all? You got to ask or think. Do you know the next verse? Thanks, Stuart. According to the power that worketh in us. Not, Lord, will you do exceeding abundantly? No, he's saying, that's Lord, will you move my mountain? He's saying, no, you move it. Can you hear me? He's saying, you move it. And people have said, they're always trying to get... We're such a bunch of blame shifters. Come on, help me, somebody. Right? Whenever you've got a problem, it's always somebody else's fault. Oh, it's my boss. He's so unfair. Well, stinking live with it, girl. Your options are handle it or quit, but don't whine. Because whining is the ultimate unbelief. Somebody write that down. All right, now let's just run through a few verses. By the way, sorry, I haven't helped you up to speed. What color is our program this week? Is it? It's yellow, isn't it? It's yellow. Please get your yellow page out. Oh, by the way, did you see that nice coffee joke in the bulletin? Wasn't that cool? After I've been preaching about coffee, and there it was. Okay, now stay with me. I'm going to take 5 minutes to run through this week's reading program. Are you with me? Let's first look at Tuesday. You've only got one verse, I'm going to quote two. It says, please hear this. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Let me repeat it. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. All right, is it his will for you to be sick? Is it his will for you to be poor? Is it his will for you to live in broken relationships? Okay, let's think about these things. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, it is finished. He hears us. Okay, now what does the next verse say? And if we know he hears us, this is the whole key to prayer. I want to say this, please, and I want to emphasize this. I don't know how hard to emphasize it. Prayer will never change God. Prayer only changes you. You see, what he did is finished. Giving thanks to the Father who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And eye has not seen what he's prepared for us, but he reveals it to us by his Spirit. Okay. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we have the petition, whatever we ask of him. Are we okay with that? So in other words, prayer is all about finding out what God's promises are, find a promise to your need, pray the promise, communicate the promise, convince yourself of the promise until you believe it. Not just say it. Believe it. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved to the uttermost. All right. Are we okay? Can I carry on here? You see how important the purpose of prayer is, not to convince God about what God wants to do. I don't know if I should say this. Thank you. Two on earth agree in here. Next November, something's going to happen. We're all going to go and vote, aren't we? And one of the most wonderful things about voting in our wonderful republic is that 49% of the country is mortally wounded because they lost. And the house divided itself cannot stand, which is why democracy doesn't work, but that's not the point. So what happens is, you know why so many Christians get mortally wounded at election time? Is they think God has let them down. Come on, somebody help me this morning. I'm doing good now. Now I'm getting in somebody's face. Oh, Lord, we prayed for this one, and you put that one in. Who the heck told God what to do? Who are we? Do you remember when Joshua was walking in the battle and he saw a guy with a huge sword? He said, who are you? He said, I'm the captain of the hosts. He said, are you for us or for them? He said, no. You see, we are so convinced in our carnal mind that God's for us. Come on, somebody help me now. our carnal mind is convinced what God wants to do. Is anybody here old enough to remember when Pat Robertson ran for president? A few more hands. Anybody old enough to remember that? You remember how everybody prayed? He's going to be the next president. He's going to be there. God told me. God, he got his bottom kicked. He got obliterated. He got egg all over his boat race. Hallelujah. And he looked such a fool because we thought he should be president. You see my drift. Did anybody pray and hear from God what God wanted? Thank you. Now, I'm saying this. Do you remember a few weeks ago I spoke about how Western world Christians think that Christianity is all electives? Does anybody remember that? How we think that Christianity is all electives, you know. Well, what subject do you like? Well, can I take, can I get some credits on rugby and curry and some credits on Christmas balls in the sanctuary. Something I'm good at. Instead of realizing that some of God's credits that you have to pass are calculus, Greek, Hebrew. You see what I'm saying? But we don't want that because we want something that's going to be easy for us. And that's not the path of faith. It isn't. Let me say this. If you can do it, it ain't faith. Right? If I was to ask Josh and Jonah and half you guys around here, say, hey, listen, guys, that wall needs to be replaced. Okay. And Roger and a few other guys and Charlie and some of the others, you go, okay, when are you going to do it? Boom, knock it out. Boom, Fred's there. Boom, put it all back. There's no faith involved. You see what I'm saying? Because they can do it. Now, if you ask me, and Wendy, and Barbara, then we'd have to do it by faith. You see the difference? If you can do it, it ain't faith. So how many of us are living by faith? Your income, whatever money you earn, Jesus help me. Are you earning it by faith? I'm not answering that question. You're asked the question. Is it enough? If it isn't enough, then are you telling me my God's not going to supply your needs? In which case, if he's not supplying all your needs, you're telling me my God's letting you down? Or maybe you're not talking to the mountain? Can I carry on or you want me to leave? Just last night, Sarah, your cue. Just last night, we sit downstairs. We're having a cafe meeting, and a Saturday night meeting. We're sitting downstairs. Esther, fold your book up and, you know. Oh, you got it. Sorry. Stay. We're sitting there. Esther says, that's Esther. She's our youth leader and her husband doing a great job. Why aren't your kids coming to youth group? That's a good question. Anyway, so there's a plug. You can pay me later. Check in the post. So we're sitting here. Did you see there's a new table and chairs in the cafe and we're sitting there going, wouldn't it be nice to play a board game now? So I said, oh, what board game do you like? Oh, Risk. Oh, yeah. But what's the classic board game? Monopoly. Yeah, Monopoly. And I said, yeah, in England, Monopoly and a different vote. And they said, well, what's Boardwalk in England? Said, oh, it's Mayfair and we're all talking about Monopoly. Yeah, we need Monopoly. This morning, there was a box in the lobby and I opened up and this was on top of the box. Now, it's a small example and a great coincidence for those of you that live by them. But I thought it was pretty cute that last night we said we want Monopoly. And this morning I opened a box that came from Manhattan, from your husband, and it had Monopoly in it. So I like the way God does it. Remember last week when I said, who believes this is made of wood? And you all lifted your hands, or a lot of you did. Well, you don't need faith. You can see it's made from wood. So you don't have to believe it. You know it is. And then I said, who believes I got $5,000 in my pocket? and a few people raised their hands. And Sheldon, the smartest guy here, did any of you hear him? No, well, forgive that statement, but he's trying to prove it this morning. No, you've been doing good. Sheldon, you are my straight man this morning, mate. You're doing, mate. Do you know what he did? Do you know what Sheldon did when I said, who believes I got $5,000 in my pocket? He looked at my kids. And he watched the kids and he went, they got their hands up. Because if they believe their father has $5,000 in his pocket, I'm going to believe their father has $5,000 in his pocket. So he raised his hand and he was right. I had $5,000 in my pocket. Now my point is, nobody could see that $5,000. Very few people believed there was $5,000. But there was $5,000. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I can't see the $5,000, but I thank God for the $5,000. Do you get my drift? I can't see the monopoly, but I thank God for the monopoly. I need a car. As you know, I got a truck, but we're planning a trip to Florida. My wife has a lovely Subaru. It's very nice. Who wouldn't want a Subaru in our weather, right? But this boo doesn't fit in her Subaru. I love it for her. But I'm getting it cut. Boom. Oh, the seat's still up. Boom. Okay, I'm in. Why? Oh, no, my head's hitting the roof. Sunroof. Okay, I can sit up. So I needed another car. I needed a Vaughn-sized car. Hummer. No, that leaves a little bit too big of a carbon footprint. So we're driving back from somewhere through up there from Catskill. We were coming back, and there's some place up there that has like 200 Grand Marquis parked. You ever seen it? Does anybody know where I mean? You must know where I mean, Sean. There's all those Grand Marquis, and I'm driving past and said, I want one of them. Lord, give me one of them. Driving down. Well, it's sitting outside in the parking lot. You have a look at it on the way. It's the one that looks like the FBI model. It's black with chrome, and it's my new toy. Hallelujah. Now, I'm only saying this because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence, the proof of things not seen. Why? Because eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit, to our spirit. Okay, I don't want to see a show of hands, but I know there's a couple of ladies in here that would like a baby. Ooh. Announcement time, maybe? Go for it. Yeah! Yes, praise God. Okay, now, Kelly, I don't want to embarrass you, but I just got to put a demand on you. Could you stand up, please? Right, now, to me, I don't see no baby. Huh? I don't see no baby. Thanks, Kelly. I don't see a baby. So whose report you're going to believe? Is Nick a liar? I believe Nick. And Kelly, of course. You see, but what happens is before the manifestation of a baby, there has to be a conception of a seed. Do you know what the word for seed is in Greek? Am I right? Sperma. So therefore, hear me now, if you're only just getting it and you're giggling at your age, come on, mate, what church do you normally go to? You wait till we get going. Listen to this. If you cannot conceive it in an unseen realm, you'll never get it. You've got to conceive it in the unseen place. And being as Jesus is not a rapist or a fornicator, therefore you have to be married to him and you have to receive his word, which is why the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the word of God. That until you conceive it in your inner man, you won't get it. For instance, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The reality is this. You know why most of us don't have joy? You haven't conceived it. Come on, somebody. You're waiting for happiness because joy is never external. Joy is internal. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Happiness is external. Joy is internal. Why are people unhappy? It's because they're depending on happenings to make them happy. And as long as you're waiting for happenings to make you happy, you'll never have joy. Joy, unspeakable and full of glory, is when Jesus communicates his joy with your spirit. And then, as the song says, he begins to change us from the inside out. Whatever your need is in life, Jesus has provided it for you. Let's get back to this story. Verse 12. Now the next day when they came out from Bethany, Mark 11:12, and having seen afar off a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. In response, Jesus said, "Let no one eat of you again." And it was cursed. Okay, now I'm going to take 10 minutes to get this one. Are you ready? Remember, the name of today's message is called "I Don't Give a Fig," which is what this tree was saying. And I want to ask you something. The first thing that God ever asked of his people is to be fruitful. To be fruitful. Jesus going to a peach tree in upstate New York in December and asking for a peach. Is it reasonable or unreasonable? Louder. In whose opinion? Right, which is why democracy stinks. Which is why God never has democracy in the kingdom of God. He said, man, if we was to vote on this faith thing, it'd be outvoted. So therefore, he's saying, Jesus is a little emphatic like this. He says, I'm right, you're all wrong. Remember, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. So don't matter what you think, you're wrong. The natural man cannot receive of the things of the Spirit of God. Are we okay here? The natural man can't get it. When you're born again and your spirit is made alive to God and you feed your spirit with what it's made of, John 6:63. Somebody say John 6:63. It says, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So therefore your spirit man, your faith man, will starve unless you get the word in you. And I think we get the word in this church, but if you don't take heed to the word you've heard, you'll drift away. That's a promise of God from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 1. So what I'm saying is this, is the reality is God expects you to bear fruit in the wrong season. My wife, he bless her cotton socks, one of my daughters was sniveling or coughing or whatever it was the other day. She said, oh, well, it is that cold season. I said, no, it ain't. It's never the season to get sick. Come on, somebody help me. You see, because Jesus' word is greater than the season. You may have heard, Jesus is the reason for the season. That wasn't funny, was it? It kind of made me laugh, though, but I got an English sense of humor. Let's try and get it again. Let's just go over it a couple of times. The Bible says, let the weak say they are. Let the poor say they are. Okay, are we? Is that what we're saying? Or every time God asks you to do something, you say, I can't afford it. You say, I don't earn enough money. In which case, you're not agreeing with God. You're agreeing with your natural man. Because God said, I will supply all your needs. How about this beautiful scripture? Am I quoting too many scriptures this morning? When this spirit kicks in, I can quote scriptures. Thank God. How about this one? Listen. Oh, I like this one. God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. That's what we need to agree with. That's the fig. You see what I'm saying? Agree with that fig. You say, but it's the wrong time. It's the wrong season. It's flu season. It's cold season. It is never the season for God to want you to be sick, ever. It's the hay fever season. No, it's not. You see, this is the point. And the problem is as soon as we begin to believe, let me say this right now, self-employed men. I felt the Lord gave me a word for you this week about this subject. How many of you go into the winter expecting not to have enough work? Huh? Because of the season. Well, have the Jesus kind of faith that he expects that fig to give figs in the wrong season. Can you see that? Don't go with the rest of this world. If you're in contractors or your guys who work outside or whatever you're doing, don't just go along with the usual conversation. Oh, it's hard to get work this time of the year. How about this one? I like this one. I got this one last night. Are you ready for this? Can I stand up in here again? I'm having so much fun. Forgive me if this faith stuff excites me, all right? Listen to this. Thousands of years ago, there was a plague season in Egypt, remember? My, it's the plague season. Look at that. Oh, blood in the water. Yeah. Whoa, frogs and flies. Wow. It's the plague season. Now, let me ask you a question. What season was it in Goshen where the children of Israel were? It wasn't plague season. Because none of the plagues went there. Come on, somebody. I should have been a lawyer. Can you hear what I'm saying? That everybody's dying, but not over here, not the children of Israel. It's dark over here, but not in Goshen. Because there's no plague over there. Because cursed is every man who hangs on the tree. And that man was Jesus. And he became a curse so that I don't get cursed. Come on, saints. So every time it's, this time of the year, you've got a season going. You've got a season going. We even sing about it. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Well, Bob and I are going to sing that in March. Right, Bob? One womp night. We're going to do our Andy William thing, you know. I don't know what we're going to do about it. And things are jingling and bells they are ringing. And everyone's being duped by the Christmas season, convinced it's the most wonderful time of the year, so you can go into depression in January. Somebody say, I repent. Huh? Why do you think, as Christians, we go from event to event? Oh, I love July the 4th. Oh, misery. Oh, I love going on vacation. Misery. Labor Day. Real misery now. I've got to go back to school. Misery. We don't do that Hell on Wheels one, do we? No, what's next? Thanksgiving. Misery. You know what I'm saying? It's because you don't live a life of faith. So your life is up because there's some happenings, therefore I'm happy. And then there's a down because I don't know and understand the joy of the Lord, which is in my spirit man that I have to let out by faith in Jesus Christ. So I try and wrap this up. I want to recommend each and every one of you to think about these things. Now, the last thought is this, which I think, have I still got my, here we go. I didn't run all the way through them, but go through this. Hebrews 6:12, next Sunday's reading, but you can read it now. It talks about being lazy. It says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience, somebody say faith and patience, inherit the promise. So this is what I'm saying about Sheldon last week. My children know that everything I say, I mean. I've never joked with my kids, ever. I don't do it. If I say it, they believe it. And I've been going through it. I never told them about tooth fairies. I never told them about Santa Claus. I never told them about any of that rubbish. I never told them any stupid stories that later they found out wasn't true. In fact, I'll tell you the quick story when we were eating. Remember that time where you were a bit young? And they're all five of them eating. We were eating with some guy up in Watertown. And he's saying, come on, guys, eat your carrots or your hair won't grow or something. And all five of them went, looked at me. I said, don't worry, Uncle Joe's lying. They went, oh, okay. He went, I said, well, you weren't telling the truth, were you? Yeah, but, well, all right, okay. That's all they needed. I've never heard that before. Is it true, Dad? No, okay. And we were all laughing. But aren't we supposed to be like that? Everything our father says, we just go, is that true? Okay, thanks. Aren't we supposed to not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? So I want to encourage you. I'm going to be preaching about faith for a couple of weeks. So you make a decision whether you want to hear it or not. But I want to encourage you with all faith and patience. So let's close on these thoughts, because some of us, the biggest enemy in your, do you know what the biggest enemy, I'm going to really end with a really good insult. Is that okay? Paul, that car's got an automatic starter. Why could you start it up? So I might have to run after this. I'm going to start with a really, who believes that terrorism is an enemy of America? Come on, let's be honest. Terrorism is an enemy of America, right? And, but you know what the biggest enemy of America is? Christians' mouths. Your biggest enemy in your life is your mouth, not mine. You can get offended all you like about my mouth. To be honest, great peace of they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. But the greatest enemy in your world is your mouth. The Bible says the power of death and life is in your tongue. So therefore, you're not feeling too good. And what do you say? Oh, I'm not feeling good. I'm too sick to go to church. Have you ever been too sick to go to the doctor? Now, that was funny. Come on. It needed more laughs than that. You see, and when you're not feeling good enough to go to church, you're teaching your children that going to church isn't that important. So if you're feeling a little leafy, come on, fig trees, help me now. You're feeling a little leafy today, so I won't go to church. But Jesus puts a demand upon us. He wants us to be instant, in season and out of season, because he is the only one that can get you to bear fruit. And you can only bear fruit by faith, and faith only comes by hearing. But let me tell you what destroys faith. Hearing what comes out of your mouth. Oh, I'm feeling so sick. They prayed for me yesterday. I felt so much better, but I feel worse than ever now. Oh, yeah, I was really believing God this was going to be a great winter. There was a couple of jobs lined up, but oh, they got canceled. Now I'm broke again. Finally, I thought my God was going to supply all your needs. Now, who are you agreeing with there? You agreeing with Jesus or are you agreeing with the leaves? You agreeing with the season or are you agreeing with Jesus? And I want to encourage you. It's time for us to begin to learn to live by faith. It's exactly 12 o'clock. I'm shutting up. Father, I just want to thank you and bless you. Let's all stand together. And let's make a good confession. Let's say, Father, in Jesus' name, I believe your word. I believe it is inspired. I believe you have a promise for every one of my situations. I thank you for your promises, for they are yes and amen. And Father, I thank you that by faith, I will read your word with new eyes, with faith eyes, with new ears, with faith ears. And I thank you, Lord, I am your sheep. I will hear your voice. I thank you, Father, that you will speak to me and my faith will increase and I will agree with your word and I shall accept that as truth and I shall not accept the circumstances, but I receive your word because you have blessed me. I am blessed and highly favored. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.